So let's read from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam. Tato Jayam Udiraye. So, Srila Vyasadeva has come to save us. He's the incarnation of Krishna who's brought the Vedic literature to everyone's availability in the world. Without him, there'd be complete darkness. And so we offer obeisances to him. We also offer obeisances to Nara Narayan Rishi, unto Goddess Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and to Srila Vyasadeva. And which verse are we on today, Karuna? Thirteen, and in your green book, this is text page number 20. And the chapter is called Birth of Emperor Parikshit. Good news for everyone, the birth of Emperor Parikshit. Text number 13. Tasya Prita Manaraja. Viprar Dhomya Kripadibihi. Jatakam Karayam Asa. Vachayitva Chamangalam. Tasya Prita Manaraja. Viprar Dhomya Kripadibihi. Jatakam Karayam Asa. Vachayitva Chamangalam. Please chant. Tasya Prita Manaraja. Viprar Dhomya Kripadibihi. Jatakam Karayam Asa. Vachayitva Chamangalam.
Tasya Prita Manaraja.
Tasya Prita Manaraja. Viprar Dhomya Kritabihi. Jatakam Karayam Asa. Vachayitva Chamangalam.
Tasya Prita Manaraja.
Jatakam Karayam Asa. Vachayitva Chamangalam. Tasya Prita Manaraja. Vipradomya Kripadibi. Jatakam Karayam Asa. Vachayitva Chamangalam. Tasya Prita Manaraja. Jadomya Kritabhi. Vachayitva Chamangalam. Tasya. His. Prita Mana. Satisfied. Raja.
King Yudhishthira.
Viprahi, by the learned Brahmins, Dhaumya, Dhaumya, Kripa, Kripa, Adibihi, and others also, Jatakam, one of the purificatory processes performed just after the birth of a child. Karayam asa, had them performed. Vachayitva, by recitation. Cha, also. Mangalam, auspicious. Translation. King Yudhishthira, who was very satisfied with the birth of Maharaj Parikshit, had the purificatory process of birth performed. Learned Brahmins, headed by Dhaumya and Kripa, recited auspicious hymns. Let's read all together. King Yudhishthira, who was very satisfied with the birth of Maharaj Parikshit, had the purificatory process of birth performed. Learned Brahmins, headed by Dhaumya and Kripa, recited auspicious hymns. Srila Prabhupada's purport. There is a need for a good and intelligent class of brahmanas who are expert in performing the purificatory processes prescribed in the system of varnashram dharma. Unless such purificatory processes are performed, there is no possibility of good population. And in the age of Kali, the population all over the world is of shudra quality or lower for want of this purificatory process. It is not possible, however, to revive the Vedic process of purification in this age for want of proper facilities and good brahmanas. But there is the Pantratrik system also recommended for this age. The Pantratrik system acts on the Shudra class of men, supposedly the population of the Kali Yuga, and it is the prescribed purificatory process suitable to the age and time. Such a purificatory process is allowed only for spiritual upliftment and not for any other purpose. Spiritual upliftment is never conditioned by higher or lower parentage. After the Garbhadhana purificatory process, there are certain other samskars like Simuntananaya, Sadabhakshanam, etc. During the period of pregnancy and when the child is born, the first purificatory process is Jatakarmam. This was performed duly by Maharaj Yudhishthira with the help of good and learned Brahmins like Dhaumya, the royal priest, and Kripacharya, who was not only a priest but also a great general. Both these learned and perfect priests, assisted by other good Brahmins, were employed by Maharaj Yudhishthira to perform the ceremony. Therefore, all the samskaras, purificatory processes, are not mere formalities or social functions only, but they are all for practical purposes and can be successfully performed by expert Brahmins like Dhaumya and Kripa. Such Brahmins are not only rare, but also not available in this age, and therefore the purpose of spiritual upliftment in this fallen age. For the purpose of spiritual upliftment in this fallen age, the Goswamis prefer the purificatory processes under Pantratrik formulas to the Vedic rites. In other words, they prefer Pantratrik formulas to the Vedic rituals and rites. Kripacharya is the son of the great rishi Sardban and was born in the family of Gautama. The birth is said to be accidental. By chance, the great rishi Sardban met Janapadi, a famous society girl of heaven, and the rishi Sardban discharged Semana in two parts. By one part, immediately a male child, and by the other part, a female child were born as twins. The male child was later on known as Kripa, and the female child was known as Kripi. Maharaj Shantanu, while engaged in chase in the jungle, picked up the children and brought them to the brahminical status by the proper purificatory process. Kripacharya later became a great general like Dronacharya, and his sister was married to Dronacharya. Kripacharya later on took part in the Battle of Kukshetra and joined the party of Duryodhan. Kripacharya helped kill Abhimanyu, the father of Maharaj Parikshit, but he was still held in esteem by the family of the Pandavas due to his being a great Brahmin, due to his being as great a Brahmin as Dronacharya. When the Pandavas were sent to the forest after being defeated in the gambling game with Duryodhan, Dhritarashtra entrusted the Pandavas to Kripacharya for guidance. After the end of the battle, Kripacharya again became a member of the Royal Assembly, and he was called during the birth of Maharishi Parikshit for recitation of auspicious Vedic hymns to make the ceremony successful. Maharaj Yudhishthira, while quitting the palace for his great departure of the Himalayas, entrusted Kripacharya with Maharaj Parikshit as his disciple. And he left home satisfied because Kripacharya is taking charge of Maharaj Parikshit. The great administrators, kings and emperors, were always under the guidance of learned Brahmins like Kripacharya, and thus they were able to act properly in the discharge of political responsibilities. Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militandena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Nena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Katah Mayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vande Ham Sri Guru Sri Uta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavanscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhye Vacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Tasyaprita Manaraja Viprardhumya Kripadibhihi Jatakam Karayam Asa King Yudhishthira, who was very satisfied with the birth of Maharishi Parikshit, had the purificatory process of birth performed. Learned Brahmins, headed by Domya and Kripa, recited auspicious hymns. Here, Prabhupada, in this opening paragraph, contrasts what used to be the prevalent system, the Vedic system, with the Pancharatrak system. Pancharatra really means five nights. Where does the word come from? Pancharatra. Pancharatra, five nights. Once Brahma, who had been instructed in the Vedas, was sleeping, and two demons came, and from within his dreams, they stole away the Vedic knowledge from Brahma. And Brahma there then approached the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hayagriva, and he re-spoke the Vedic literature, the essence, in five nights. Pancharatra, five nights. So it's a codified system. It's the Vedic system, but given in a practical, codified way that can be used and imbibed, especially in the Kali Yuga. And it refers to the rituals which bring us closer to Krishna and elevate the consciousness. It's the whole purpose of the Pancharatra, to quickly bring us to the spiritual platform. Vedic system, as Prabhupada's mentioning here, depended much on the purity of the birth. And everyone who was living at that time performed the Garbhadhan Samskar, which means that at the time of conception, the consciousness of the parents was vitally important and must be adjusted and perfectly honed. And the purpose for conceiving the child must not be out of lust, but actually there's a purpose, that the seed is being planted in the womb and that the child is going to have a purpose, a progressive purpose in life, to come to the highest level. And in Kali Yuga, that's lost. The age is described at the outset of the Bhagavatam, Prayanal Palyusak Savya Kalavasmin Yugejana Manda Sumanda Matayo Manda Bhagya Hupadrutaha. In the age of Kali, men have but short lives. They're quarrelsome, lazy, misguided, unlucky, and above all, always disturbed. So there's a constant disturbance in the age of Kali, and the Vedic rituals are practically out the window. We study the history of, you know, modern civilization. We'll see all the different transformations people have been through, which have carried them further and further away from the Vedic culture, and now we're in some kind of a real mess in the world. the idea of modern civilization, especially in the Western culture, has become more about consumerism, and the educational system is really more about vocation and how to become a cog in the wheel of this great consumerist society and contribute to that. It's much less about self-realization. There's not the kind of training from birth in the Vedic sciences and arts with an emphasis on the attainment of the highest goal of life, nor is the environment pure enough to perform this. And Prabhupada admits it here, that it's not possible in the age of Kali Yuga. And in one morning walk I heard recently where Prabhupada was speaking about the marriage system, that the ideal marriage system, and devotees were suggesting, well, maybe we could revive this. And Prabhupada said, I'm not after social reform. We're a spiritual movement. Now, of course, he did call for Varnashram before he departed. And therefore, as Bhakti Raghava Swami always points out consistently in all of his classes, that if Prabhupada said it, we should try for it. We can't just say, well, you know, he says he can't do it. And so it is a topic. And, that's something that we're duty-bound to look into. In the meantime, the topic of here is that there's a difference between the Vedic system and the Panchratrik system. What is the Panchratrik system? As I described, it's a truncated description of what the purpose of the Vedas is, and there's a series of rituals and processes for how one can come to the highest perfection. And this has been laid out by the Goswamis, as Prabhupada points out here. This is the Goswamis' system. We are followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through the Goswamis. We are therefore called Rupanugas. Prabhupada called himself a Rupanuga. And if we're followers of Prabhupada, we're also Rupanugas, because we're following Prabhupada. We don't make up some new system. And so we follow the system that was given to us by Prabhupada, and specifically by the Goswamis, as he presented to us, and is very clear throughout his books and all his talks. And that system, in part, consists of the process of elevating a person from any position of life to the highest position. Kirata hunanda pulinda pulkasha abhira shumba yavana kasadaya. Yene cha papa yada pashraya shaya shudyanti tasmai pravavishnave namaha. How is it possible to elevate somebody to a higher position? Many who are constrained by cultural momentum say that Westerners or those born outside the Vedic system, even today, cannot be elevated to the position of a Brahmin, and therefore they object. And they say that this is some kind of a heresy in the Vedic system, that we say that you could be elevated to the higher position. Jiva Goswami and the other Goswamis went about proving through the Sandarbhas, Jiva Goswami did through the Sandarbhas, about the efficacy of devotional service. And giving, he also, in the Tattva Sandarbha, points out that for understanding the Vedas, especially in this age of Kali Yuga, we have to refer to the Puranas. And of all the Puranas, the Bhagavat Purana is the best. Ramya Kacharupasana Vrajavidu Vargina Volkalpita. Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam Tadhanam. I can't remember the rest. Anyway, this is a statement that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given his opinion that of all the Puranas, the Srimad Bhagavatam is the spotless authority. Pramanam amalam. This praman, this evidence is spotless. It is is perfect. Therefore, we measure everything. Whatever shastra we look into, and nowadays there are many. If you go to the cloth market in Lohi Bazaar, otherwise known as Louis Bazaar, down in Vrindavan, you'll find whole storerooms full of new books coming out from the Vedas. People are reading here, there, and everywhere. The standard by which we measure everything is from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Does it measure up to the history and the philosophy and so forth? This was the opinion of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Jiva Goswami proves it in the Tattva Sandarbha that we have to take help from the Puranas, especially the Srimad Bhagavatam, as evidence, as the Vedic evidence. And the Goswamis also wrote extensively, as ordered by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sanatana Goswami in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, about the process of Pancharatra, how one becomes elevated in devotional service. And throughout the Sandarbhas, Jiva Goswami also gives evidence about the Pancharatric system. So in this context, how is a person elevated from a low position to a high position? In fact, everyone's born Oma Jnana Timirandasya Jnana Anjana Shalakaya into a state of ignorance and has to be rescued. And how is that to be done? So, we've already established the Vedic principle is not possible in the age of Kali Yuga. So, how is a person elevated by the Pancharatric system? So, Pancharatra requires initiation by a Vaishnav guru coming in line of disciplic succession. And according to the Hari Bhakti Vilas, the Vaishnav guru who gives this, gives the mantras, gives the names, must be present. He describes the Pancha Samskar. What is the process of initiation? It is a fivefold process. It begins with tapa. Tapa means that the candidate for entering into the Pancharatric system must be ready. And what does ready mean? It means that I no longer have optimism about the material world. If I'm very optimistic that that I can make a stand here, that I just need to try a little bit harder, just if I adjust things a little bit more, then I can become happy in this material world. But tapa means it's a specific mentality that of I'm ready to forego the material happiness for the sake of becoming elevated spiritually. And therefore, I'm ready to follow some principles of freedom, as it's translated in the Bhagavad Gita, following the regulated principles of freedom. So this is tapasya. Tapasya means very specifically for us the four regulative principles: no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling, no illicit sex. These four principles, are they just to ruin all the fun of the world that we ask these four regulative principles? Just to spoil everyone's fun, right? Because that's the main source of fun, isn't it? So we're just killjoys. We just want everyone to suffer. But there's a reason for it. For instance, intoxication. Human life is so extremely valuable, even 1 second. Maharishi Katvanga proved that even within 1 second, by turning his full attention to the subject matter of going back home, back to Godhead, he became successful. But we cannot buy back even 1 second with millions of coins of gold. This Donald Trump, I don't know how much he's worth now, but if he asked for an extra minute of life, if he's diagnosed with a disease that, you know, he's going to die in a week, can he buy it back? Can he get an extra time? Can he fly in more doctors? Not possible. So human form of life is extremely valuable, and the decisions that we make throughout our life are important, and we must be fully alert and aware of what kind of decisions we're making. Therefore, we shouldn't become intoxicated. If people make bad decisions all the time when they're intoxicated. They smash out their cars. They decide to have illicit sex, and therefore they conceive children out of wedlock and end up the rest of their life tied to that decision. They make alcohol and other kinds of intoxicants make you stupid. It's been proved, actually. Oprah Winfrey proved it once. Yeah, she did. She actually showed people a group of upstanding citizens. She showed them before, and then they all agreed as a clinical experiment to get intoxicated, and then she filmed them in a room as they got more and more intoxicated under clinical conditions. And they couldn't believe the kinds of things that they were doing. And this is a normal thing. It makes you stupid, and it makes you make bad decisions. And therefore, you can't afford to make a bad decision. And also, in our relationship with Krishna, we can't become irresponsible. Anybody here have an accountant? Yes. So you have an accountant. So if you call your accountant and you ask him how your accounts are doing, he says, "Oh, I don't know. I was a little drunk last night and I didn't do it. You know, I'm not sure." Or we didn't get much of a return this year because, you know, I was really out of it. So in 2011, you'll have a new accountant, right? So similarly, when we become intoxicated, then we can't concentrate on making the proper decisions to surrender. Tapasya means we have to be sober, actually, and we have to make the decision minute to minute to surrender to Krishna, to make the right decision, because the mind is very turbulent and it's pulling in different directions. So are all the senses. And to be a dhira, to be undisturbed by this, means that we can't take some kind of intoxication that makes me whimsical and things. So it doesn't matter. It does matter. It does matter. And this is tapasya. This is the first stage of initiation that I have this feeling. It matters. So tapasya is the first thing. Then comes this pundra, which means urva pundra. Pundra means like wearing tilak. It's a sign of Vishnu. Wherever you go when you're wearing tilak, people say, "What's that on your face? Why are you wearing that on your nose?" They say, I'm a devotee of Krishna. It's a life of dedication. It indicates a life of dedication to God. And that's what it means. Externally, before initiation, devotees will wear, at least this is the tradition in ISKCON, 2 strands of beads. And afterwards, 3 strands of beads. It means something. And it means that externally, I'm showing myself, okay, I surrender. And Prabhupada used to say this is like a dog collar. And it's the mood of devotees like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, great acharyas, who sings in one of his bhajans that I will live on the porch, underneath the porch of a Vaishnav. That's where my house is. Tie me to the porch of a Vaishnav with a rope. And I'll just stay there all night and protect the house. And when the Vaishnavs inside the house throw me some scraps, that'll be my food. That's the mood here of wearing this. And there's an external show of now I'm showing the world this is my designation. Because when we're born, there's no designation at the time of birth until your parents come and slap a name tag on you and say, "This is who you are now, Shnicky." You know, and you're going to go, "This is your new house. This is your new identity." But it's like this is not our real identity. This is a false identity. We get a whole new identity. In America, they have the Witness Protection Service from the FBI. If you're involved in some real trouble, but then you become a help to the FBI, is the FBI or somebody, prosecutor, then what they'll do is to get you out of that trouble, they'll give you a new name, a new identity, change all your paperwork, and send you to a new location. You can start over again. So that's what this process of Pancharatra is like. It's like, I really messed up. I'm really, I just need a whole new identity. Start over. So you get the Pondra, you're showing your new identity. It's like, I'm with these people. You know, I have nothing to do with what happened over here. And so you take that, and then you get a new name. You actually get a new name. You enter into the process, and that's the next stage, is you get Nam. You take a new name through the witness protection plan, witness protection program within the devotional service. And the representative of Krishna through the disciplic succession, the spiritual master, gives you a name. And that name is what? Das or Dasi. Das or Dasi. And it means that you're a servant. That's your new identity. And that is our eternal identity. That makes sense, actually. It makes sense to be realigned. Sanitya nitya sambandha. We have an eternal relationship with Krishna. And that is that comes out when we get the name. And then we also start the process of devotional service, of course. Bhajana Kriya, of performing a vrat. We make a vow. I'll follow four regular principles, and I'll chant 16 rounds on the positive side as my minimum daily vow. That's what I'm going to do. Then we take mantra. So these are pantratric mantras, and these mantras are passed down from one spiritual master to the next in disciplic succession, and they're very specific mantras. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Sanatana Goswami that the living entity is wandering throughout the universe and suffering in many different ways, and until he meets a devotee physician, then he must remain in a sick condition. The devotee physician gives two things, the instructions and the hymns. So these hymns mean the pantratric mantras and also the Hare Krishna mantra. So when we take the pantratric mantra, this is called mantra initiation. And in that mantra initiation, we hear in the right ear the mantras that have been passed down from one spiritual master to the next, and we begin to recite them every day. So by the recitation of these mantras, actually, there's the Lakshan mantra there. We've already read it today. It's in the Sri Brahma Samhita. It's the same mantra that Lord Brahma received when Goddess Divya Saraswati came before him and said, Tapastam tapayetena tavasiddhir bhavishyati. Do thou attain perfection by reciting this mantra. Purport? The purport is clear. That within the mantra, it's a seed. There's a genetic code within the mantra. A power of its own. It is Krishna. It's the Krishna mantra. This is the Lakshan mantra of all the pantratric mantra. All the other mantras that we have in the pantratric system emanate from this Krishna mantra. And by chanting these very specific mantras, they soften the heart, actually, and they bring out our very particular focus and concentration and love for Krishna. So that, and they support the chanting of Hare Krishna, because our main process is the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. However, in the age of Kali Yuga, to chant consistently the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and follow four regular principles has been deemed by our acharyas, for instance, Jiva Goswami, to be nearly impossible. Why? Because the age is contaminated, and there are disturbances from all sides, and there's low birth to start with. Therefore, we need the support system of the pantratric, which comes in the form of initiation. Yatra, no mantras are coming in my head today. So anyway, Sanatana Goswami mentions this, that it's just like a process of alchemy, that you can turn bell metal into gold. How do you turn bell metal into gold? By the exact proportion and the exact circumstances of adding mercury to it. And by that combination, it has to be done properly. Then that bell metal can be transformed into gold. So he gives this very specific example, and he uses the word vidanena, which means by a specific process, doing it the way that it's passed down in the pancharatric. That means that a lowborn person, or from whatever position of life, that person becomes um, elevated to the position of a Brahmin through this process. So this means mantra, and after mantra comes yaga. Yaga means to engage in deity worship, which is out of the 64 items of devotional service, there are five which are particularly potent and important, and deity worship is one of them. And one worships the deity using the Panchratrik mantras and system, which also comes down through great devotees like Narada. We follow Narada Muni, Narada Panchratra, etc. And what we have in our Archana Padatis and the system that we do for deity worship, how to install the deity, how to wake the deity, how to offer food to the deity, and all these kinds of things are coming down through the system of Panchratra. By following the process of chanting Hare Krishna side by side with the process of deity worship or Panchratra and reciting these daily mantras, then Jiva Goswami and, of course, Prabhupada concurs, we are situated on two tracks and can safely go through the Kali Yuga and come to the highest position of life. So the Panchratra system Prabhupada mentions here is what we are following in ISKCON. And it is based on the authority of the Goswamis, who have backed everything up by giving extensive evidence from all the Vedic literatures and the Puranas and the Srimad Bhagavatam. And that's just a you know, basic outline of the system of Panchratra versus the Vedic system. Questions or reflections? Karunath was first, so let's pass him the microphone to the back. And is that piece still available that came off of the microphone?
Hare Krishna. Wonderful class. What can you explain the difference between the Bhagavat? We talked a little bit about the Vedic system and the Pancharatrika system, but what is the Bhagavat system? And I just had read recently that the Gaudiya Math had a like an insignia or an emblem that had symbols of Pancharatrika and Bhagavat system on it. I don't know if you know anything about that or if you can comment.
The Bhagavat system is the mentioned in 11th canto by Kavi Yogendra as the direct process of worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, very specifically through Shravanam Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, the nine processes of devotional service, hearing and chanting. So the direct process, hearing and chanting. This is worshiping Krishna by hearing about him, by chanting his names. And also, sometimes Prabhupada also categorizes preaching as the part of the Bhagavat Marg. Because that's also kirtan.
How is it related to Pancharatra?
Well, they're described as two different tracks, actually. And they complement one another, especially in the age of Kali Yuga. They're complementary. That Pancharatra requires deity worship, just in a simple thing. Prabhupada established temples. He could have just come and started a traveling party and just said, you know, everyone get in vans and let's just go around and distribute books and just chant Hare Krishna at home. But he didn't. He started temples. As much as he also preached that, you know, we're not about temples, take the marble away from the temples and buy books, he started temples. And, I mean, I was just in Toronto, and there's a gigantic temple there, and it cost them, at the time, a huge amount of money, which was $400,000 back in 1971 or two. No, maybe later. It was 76. And it was enormous amount of money, and they went out and collected it. And at the time, they were saying, but Prabhupada, this will cause so much anxiety, and you know, you don't like buildings. And Prabhupada said, there must be anxiety. Go buy the building. And there's still anxiety, because I saw. Anyway, but it was important, because there has to be a center where people can come and ring the bell and walk in and smell the incense and see the deity. And that has to be there to has a foundational effect for the progressive path of devotional service. People have to have a place where they can come. So even coming to see the deity is considered the Pantrachik system, and is also the, it's purifying. Prabhupada mentions in the third canto, Lord Kapiladeva's instructions, where it's mentioned by Kapiladeva that the devotees see my smiling face, and they feel very happy. There's a verse like that that's also mentioned in the Nectar of Devotion. And in the purport to that verse, Prabhupada speaks about how when people come to the temple, they become imperceptibly liberated. Liberated even without their knowledge. And how is that possible? It's possible through the Pantrachik system. There's a temple, there's a bell, there's incense, there are beautiful deities with flowers that we take great pains to worship, you know, according to the system. And when that's done, Krishna actually appears there. And when people come to see the deity in those circumstances, then they feel liberated. They feel happy. All they have to do is walk in and say, oh, relief. They feel happiness. This is liberation. Imperceptibly, they become liberated. And so that's there. And then the process of this Bhagavat Marg is more on the spontaneous level. It's more related to spontaneous devotional service. As Queen Kunti said, Twaye me ananya vishaya matir madhu pate sakrit ratim udvahata da da gange vaugamudanvati, that one's mind is running after Krishna. It's like the Ganges flowing towards the ocean, can't be stopped. And this is the rag marg, spontaneously chanting Hare Krishna. But do most people have that when they come to Krishna consciousness? Because of the influence of the age of Kali Yuga, everyone's distracted. And it's very difficult to sit down and chant Hare Krishna. It's the sweetest thing, say the acharyas. But do I taste the sweetness? No, my mind wants to go on Facebook and you know, hear some gossip, or you know, go somewhere else, here, there, and everywhere, everywhere except for tasting the name. Therefore, I require this imperceptible liberating force of the deity worship. And those who actually go through the process, the pancha samskar, and come qualify themselves and become qualified. Of course, we can't become qualified. This is part of the understanding of initiation. It's like, I'm not qualified. I can't become initiated. No, you can't become qualified. That's the whole point. You're not qualified. So take the initiation, and then you get mercy that brings you to the position of becoming qualified. And from actually engaging in the process of deity worship, you remain clean. That's one of the main points. Your mind remains clean. You remain regulated. You have to worship the deity. And by doing that, then you can start tasting the chanting of Hare Krishna in a much more profound way. They support each other. Rather, the Pantrach system supports the Bhagavat Marg. We can't sit down like Haridas Thakur. Right, Akurna? I mean, so many, when we first started going to India to meet Prabhupada there, we take these huge plane loads of devotees. Inevitably, one or two people would jump ship when we got to Radhakund and say, I'm going to Radhakund, I'm just going to sit down and chant. And they'd go back and tell Prabhupada, you know, he just left the party, you know, he's just sitting in under a tree chanting. And Prabhupada's reaction was, you know, good luck, we'll see you in a few days. And that's usually what happens, you know. Either they came back, or they, you know, where are they now? They're in Las Vegas. That's what happens. You know, you can't be Haridas Thakur. And even Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur went to great pains to show that this was not our process. Formerly, Vaishnavas, up to the point of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, used to put on Paramahamsa dress when they became Vaishnavas. He changed that system. He actually had his devotees put on sannyasi dress. Sannyas is a lower designation, because it's within the Varnashram system. And the Paramahamsa means I'm liberated. I'm beyond Varnashram. In the Paramahamsa system, you take off your Brahmin's thread and throw it away. Say, no more rules and regulations. I'm on the rag marg. I'm on the spontaneous marg. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, to show respect for the Goswamis of Vrindavan, who wore the white Paramahamsa dress, he had his devotees who were prepared for it to dress as sannyasis within the Varnashram system, Daivi Varnashram. And that was to show that we're subservient to those great souls. We keep their ideal on our head. We don't imitate them. And therefore, we follow this process of panchratrik, of sannyas. And actually, he had them put on the Brahmin's thread rather than take it off. And that was very cultural and time-specific to show that when you become a Vaishnav, you automatically become a Brahmin. Yanama deha shravanadu kirtanad. Yet pravanad yet smaranad api kuchit. Shvadopi sadyo savanaya kalpate kutak putaste bhagavan nudarshanat. From the Srimad Bhagavatam. One who comes to the position of being a Vaishnav and chanting Hare Krishna, even if they're a dog eater, they're eligible. Their eligibility as as a Brahmin is automatic. So I would say the relationship is complementary. Long answer to a short question. Anything else? Somebody else had their hand up. I think it was Ramananda Sakha, but he's gone. Left the building. Okay. You got to spruce that mic up a little bit.
Okay. In the purport, Prabhupada mentions that Kripacharya helped kill Abhimanyu. could you please elaborate a little bit more on that? Because I was thinking, do you know how Yudhishthira Maharaj is very forgiving and trusting Kripacharya to take care of the family where he had killed one of the family members? Because in material world, it's just we hold on to the grudges. I just want to understand that understanding.
According to Kshatriya Dharma, they didn't hold on to grudges. And Prabhupada mentions this, that in the evening time, the two camps, warring camps, would come together. At least some of the leaders would come together, and they'd come and associate with the others. So please sit down. For instance, when Arjuna came to meet Dronacharya, and he said, you know, I've come to collect the favor that you told me you'd give me a long time ago. And he said, oh, what would you like? You want the kingdom back? You can have it. And he said, no, I just want the five arrows. And so these things, Prabhupada said that they divided the emotional part from their duty as a kshatriya. So it's possible in these situations that they would, be involved in warfare, but at another time they would see it that this is their dharma. They're doing that. They're fighting the war, and they're doing these things out of duty. Of course, obviously, when we read the Mahabharata, we see that emotions spill over one way or another, because that's inevitable. And also, kshatriyas are emotional as well, but in real culture. And Varnashram culture, there's possibility of compartmentalizing these things. Okay, so we read the Brahma Sanhita, which is the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam and is also the revelation of Lord Brahma. And we also read the Gurvashtakam. We read the translation to the Shad Goswami Ashtakam. Which else? Shikshashtakam we also read. And then we heard a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, had some discussion. And here we are. We've done the yajna. It can't be taken back now. It's done. So every day we have to do yajna. And the more that we can build this into our lives as a regular daily function, the more we advance in devotional service. And therefore we should have a regulated process for ingesting Krishna Katha every day. Becoming qualified to do deity worship is also important. And very specifically, we should, with attention, love, and an outpouring from our heart, we should chant Hare Krishna. Minimum 16 rounds a day. If you want to stay on the transcendental platform, this is numerical strength that you get from chanting Hare Krishna 16 rounds. 16 rounds, take a vow, and make it your life's business, and go back home, back to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Lord Christ ki jai. Go premanande aribo. So now we have prasadam because we did the Guru Puja earlier. Normally we would do that, but we're on an expedited schedule for the marathon. As devotees like to go out right away for book distribution, which is available today in Fremont. Fremont, there is door-to-door Sankirtan being organized by Malini Devi Dasi, and she has the spots all picked out. And everyone who would like to go out today for book distribution, these spots are available. Also, tomorrow, we have a variety of places for devotees to go. We have tons of books left over because we've been in marathon mode for the last 3 months, October, November, December, yeah, almost 3 months now. And everything's ready to go for those who would like to perform some service. This is great service to go out and distribute books. So let's sing the prayers for prasadam. So a word about this, what we call the prasadam prayers, prasad sevaya. What does that mean exactly, prasad sevaya? You didn't leave the building, you're just doing your duty. Very nice. So we're serving. It's actually a service to take prasadam, and that's within the prayers that we sing. Sharir advidya jal jodendriya tahikal jibe pele bishaya shogare tarma de dibayati loba moy sudurmati take jeta kotina shangshare. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is glorifying the prasadam, and he's saying that very difficult to overcome the senses, especially the tongue. It's the most voracious, difficult to control. So yoga means we have to control the senses. So how are we going to do that? The prime way to do that, to control the tongue, is twofold. Chanting Hare Krishna, because it actually tastes good to chant Hare Krishna. When the tongue starts working and experiences the flavor of the Maha Mantra, it wants to keep doing it. You ever notice that? If you're chanting and then you have to take a break, go somewhere else, your tongue keeps going, keep going. You know, I like this. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. It's much tastier than gossip. Gossip, talking about somebody else, this is the materialistic tendency. The envy's in the heart. It comes out through the tongue. And at first it tastes good, but later it's poisonous. But in the beginning, the Maha Mantra, it may taste poisonous because the tongue wants to gossip. But then after chanting for some time, the tongue becomes mesmerized. It actually tastes the flavor of the Maha Mantra and becomes satisfied. When you become satisfied with pleasing Krishna, then all your life's desires will be fulfilled. Abhishta doham. This means the desire within the soul, within the soul proper, actually has to be fulfilled. That's done through Sankirtan, through the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So you can control the tongue absolutely and come to the highest perfection of yoga by chanting Hare Krishna and by tasting Krishna prasadam, because that's the other thing the tongue wants to do. Narottam Das Thakur says in one of his songs that the living entity is transmigrating all over the universe, eating horrible things. That's what we do. You know, crows are omnivores. They'll eat anything, anything. And all kinds of other living entities, which I won't go into detail here, but they eat horrible things. That's what they do, and it's one birth after another. So when you come to the human form of life, you have discretion, and you can make a choice. I'm not going to eat horrible things. I'm going to eat the only one thing in the universe that's not horrible. Because in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, even if you eat all kinds of vegan food, and it's creepers, and it's organic, if it's not offered to Krishna, it's horrible. You're eating sin. So the only one thing that you can actually eat in this world that is not horrible is Krishna prasadam. It's a science. So if you chant Hare Krishna and you eat non-horrible food, and there's only one choice, and that's Krishna prasadam, then Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, your tongue will become happy and controlled, that you'll conquer this enemy that nobody else can conquer, that's pulling you all over the universe. You'll conquer that. And he says that by doing that, you become the perfect yogi, so much so, in the later verses, he says that what the yogis attain after 10,000 years of sitting down and drilling the respiration and trying to fix the mind, we will attain today in one sitting by taking Vijay Mataji's cooking offered to Krishna. This we will attain in one day. So this is the power of prasadam, and therefore we glorify Lord Chaitanya and Lord Inanda. We thank them for this blissful process which they have introduced, and we also call out for the help of the Lord and for Shri Radha Madan Mohan.